For the people who are new here, my name is Theo van Houten. Maybe I can just ask, who of you are English speaking? I just want to see a raise of hands. One, two. Okay. Do you understand Afrikaans? Okay. I'm just going to, we had our first morning service this morning, and with the kids' church, 40 kids showed up this morning. There were 12 teachers and three or four moms that helped them. And we still were 100 people in the congregation as well. So I think that's a good one for the first one. So thank you for everyone that helped. Just something else as well. We are 71 volunteers now that said they're specifically volunteering for something. Out of 200, I think that's quite amazing. And we're growing still. So God is really doing a fantastic thing, I believe. There's also these pamphlets that's lying here somewhere. If you want some of them about the missions, you can just maybe get them you can get them downstairs if you're interested to take one of these with to see where the missions will be going. And then something else that I just want to share, Pastor Fred and Pastor Lucille, they married May. They are the pastors who started Shofar Christian Church, and they will be preaching here every other week. Pastor Sias, Pastor Henny, he's the head of the Bible school. So all the pastors will come from Stellenbosch to come and to just come and preach here as well and to bless you. So it won't only be me or one other person. So can we just pray together, please? Yes, Father God, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much, Lord, that you died for us, Lord. Father, I just want to give you all the honor and glory, Lord, for the work that you've done in our lives, Lord, and that you're a good God, Lord. We just bless you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for tonight, Lord, and for every heart, Lord, for every person that is here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Ek gaan net 'n getuienis deel van myself, sommer net in Afrikaans, en as julle nie omgee nie. Ek het dit vanoggend gedeel, maar daar was baie van julle wat nie hier is nie, so ek dink ek kan dit maar vir julle ook vertel. Jesus sê mos die duivel gaan oorkom word deur die bloed van die lam en deur die getuienis, en het ons harte, laat ons nie sal doodgaan vir ons eie begeertes nie. Maar verlede jaar, toe sê Magli vir my, was sy werk saam met my in die kantoor, daar's 'n tannie, sy's besig om dood te gaan aan kanker, en of ek nie vir haar wil gaan bid nie. En ek sê toe, jy sou, ok, Magli, dis reg, waar is sy, waar is die adres, en ek gaan toe daartoe. En ek kom toe by hulle huis aan, die dogter is in ons kerk, en sy sê toe vir my, Jesus, Theo, ek is bang, as my ma nou moet doodgaan, gaan sy nie hemel toe gaan nie, want sy het soveel onvergewend gesindheid in haar hart, sy kan, daar's 'n klomp mense wat sy net nie kan vergewe nie, en sy is eintlik bang dat haar ma dalk nie hemel toe sal gaan, as gevolg van die verhardheid in haar hart. En voor die tyd het ek gebid, en ek bid toe, en ek voel die Here gee vir my Psalm 23, 91 en 103, en as jy so 'n bietjie weet, daai goeders gaan altyd oor as mense weer baie rowwe tye gaan, en nou dog ek, is dit nou wat die Here gesê het, of is dit nou wat dit moet wees? Toe ek met die tannie praat ook, toe iemand vir Psalm 23 gegee, en sy lees dit elke dag, en Psalm 91, en sy lees dit ook elke dag, so toe het ons dadelik 'n koneksie, want dit is die enigste twee boekmerke in haar Bybel, was toe daai twee psalms gewees, en Psalm 103 sê, I will heal you of all your iniquities, and I will heal you of all your diseases. En soos ek met die tannie ook praat, toe besef sy, maar daar is hierdie mense, moet sy vergewe, en ek sê toe vir maar tannie, as jy nou reg is, kan ons net jou kinders ook terugbring, dat hulle harte ook net reg is, dat hulle ook net gerus het, as dan iets met tannie moet gebeur, en dit is nou baie moeilik om met jou tannie te praat, en sy sê toe, nou, dis reg, ons kan hulle maar inbring, en toe ek hulle nou inbring, en sy begin, sê, en ons bid toe saam, en sê tannie, nou vergewe hierdie mense, toe sê sy, Here, vergewe hulle vir wat hulle aan my gedoen het, en ek sê toe tannie, dis baie blessed, en ek bid, sê net tannie, maar kom, ons moet hulle spesifiek vergewe, tannie moet hulle vry maak, en toe vat ek net haar hand, en ek sê net saam met my, en ek sê, ek vra in die naam van Jesus, en sê in die naam van Jesus, ek vergewe vir Sunny, en sê ek vergewe vir Sunny, omdat sy dit gedoen het, en toe begin sy deurwerk, en toe kom die gees van God net oor ons, en sy begin net oopmaak, en sy begin net praat, later dan sê sy haar seun nader, en sy bid vir, sy sê net jammer vir wat sy teen hom gedoen het, en dit is net regtig amazing geweest, maar nou sit Tannie in 'n rolstoel, en so 'n maand of wat later, toe sien ek weer vir Tanya en sy sê, jy, die Here het amazing ding in my ma se lewe gedoen. En verlede week, toe stap sy in my kantoor en sy sê, hoorie, kan ek gaan met jou praat? Ek sê, ja, wat is fout? Ek dog vind almal probleme op die oomblik. Sy sê net, die Here het amazing ding in my ma se lewe gedoen. Sy gaan, die dokter sê, hy is op Google, hy het na ander dokters oor see gegaan, hy kan nie glo vir die miracle wat in haar lewe plaasgevind het nie, hy kan nie glo sy lewe nog nie, sy het 'n implanting hier om van, sy kan nie toilet toe gaan nie, so dit moet van hier af gebeur, en daai ding, dit verwerp, blykbaar baie gou, soos jy gaan baie gou, wat jy oorlede gaan, en die tannie sê net vir die dokter, maar die, my kind, die Here het jou hande gebruik om my te genees, en die dokter kan het nie verstaan nie, maar die tannie loop rond, sy ry nou na haar dogters toe, dit is net amazing wat die Here in haar hart gedoen het, so ek wil net sê, die Here genees nog steeds. My message is called Don't Worry, Be Happy. When it was my birthday, James wrote a little song, and he changed the words a little bit, and they made me sit on the chair on the table, and they sang the song to me. But I spoke to my wife Lynette afterwards, and we just really about that place where the world is telling us don't worry, be happy, but it's not always easy not to worry, especially when things really go tough, and when they say to you be happy, but things are falling apart. It's quite difficult to say that I'm worried. But I just want to, this song was a hit in 1988. I was also a matric in 1988. Bobby McFerrin wrote it. It goes like this. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. And then it says, ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Worry can cause you to really not focus at all. When you worry so much, you can't focus on who God is and what God wants to do in your life. And, you know, I've been worried. Offense is also one of those things. And if you have a critical spirit, when you criticize people around you, your heart comes to harden, and you can't really come to that place where you get to have your attention on who God is and what God wants to do in your life. And one of the things that most people worry a lot about is finances. I've shared some time ago this Friday morning group. I go to intercession and I go to this group. And there's this one guy, apparently he went through a really tough time last year. And you can see he's been in the presence of God, because the things that he shares is amazing. And he said the other morning that if you still worry about finances, you are still serving Mammon. If you worried about that, then you don't know who God is in your life. And that is very easy to say to anyone, if you shouldn't worry, because all of us, if you can't eat, it's very easy to say to someone, you know, put your trust in God. But when you don't have money, it's a very tough place to be. And what he also said is the banking world is keeping us in bondage. We're all in debt, and that we must really trust God to come out of that place of debt to that place where we can believe God totally for his provision. In Luke 16 verse 13, it says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Money's got this effect where it can really bless you, but it can also draw you into a really bad place. This guy walked into my office. He's originally from Clutersville. He studied at UWC to become a teacher. He was very successful. He went into the business world. He specialized in the area. I can't remember what it was. And then a Johannesburg company headhunted him for 3 times the salary that he had. But when this guy also walked in, you can just see there was something about this guy, he almost like a prince. You know, his hair was almost shaven off completely, but he had a very strong features, a strong guy. He made a really great impression on me as well. Then when he started sharing his testimony, I was actually a bit surprised, because when he speaks to you, you can see this guy is very well educated. He told me his story. After the time in Joburg, he worked up to 16 hours a day, where he wouldn't see his children for three days. Of his child and his wife for 3 days in a row easily, and he continued working like that for a long time. When he was in Kloetersville, I don't know if you know anything about Kloetersville, but there's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of really bad things that's with the gangs that's happening in Kloetersville. You also experience with drugs. In this time in Joburg, he started using cocaine just to get him through the day. And I think it was there where he was arrested for domestic violence. He got a suspended sentence, and they decided to move back to Cape Town. Then he lived in Welgevonden. And what is so sad, the people from Kloetersville was almost against him. They were saying, "Yeah, this guy smuggled with diamonds, and that's why he's so rich." So they weren't glad for him, but they were actually breaking him down. They couldn't believe that people from their community could live in Welgevonden. And he got saved 4 years ago in Shofar. He was very impressed. He led his wife to the Lord. When she came to the Lord, he fell back into drugs again, and he lost everything that he had. Eventually, he got arrested again for domestic violence because it was a suspended sentence. He got 8 years for it. This was end of last year. He repented, said, "God, I've made a massive mistake." His mom is a Christian. She's been praying for him all the time. His wife been praying for him. He repented, and God supernaturally came through for him. 3 months, he's out of jail. The state decided to withdraw the charges against him. He said he didn't know how it happened, but God really did a miracle in his life. Now, he's without work, but you can see he's starting to get his life together. They pray together, and he came to us and said, "Wherever I can serve, whatever I can do, that's what I want to do, because I'm so thankful for what God has done, in my life." What the Bible says about worry, this is quite a long scripture, so just bear with me. In Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34, it says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, that you will eat what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Neither they sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you with little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble." God's saying that we mustn't worry about these things. Where the world is saying, "Don't worry, be happy," God say, "Don't worry, but seek me and seek my kingdom." Now, what does it mean? What does God's kingdom mean? In Romans 4, verse 17, it says, "The kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking, but it's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So righteousness, joy, and peace comes in the place of what the world is saying to us, what happiness should be. So I just want to talk about those three. Righteousness first, righteousness means that you are in right standing with God, that you can come before God and not be afraid, that you have the same right to stand before God the Father as Jesus have. And now you probably think, me? But God says, because he's died on the cross, you became the righteousness of God. Because in faith, we have the same right to stand before God as Jesus has. So this is a place where we can know that we are sons of God. We're children, that we can come before God and just have a confidence to come into God's presence. But with righteousness as well, this is in faith, but there's also a place of where we become more holy, where we become more where we as we draw into God, that God starts doing a thing in our life, where we become more righteous. In Matthew 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." So there's a place where we hunger and thirst to come into God. And as we draw near to God, as we hunger and thirst to know more of Him, we will become more righteous before God as well. 2 Timothy 2, verse 26 says, "So flee your youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." So here, this verse also says we must pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Romans 1 verse 17 says, "The righteous shall live by faith." That in faith, we have been called to live a life by faith. And because we are righteous, it's in Psalm 37, we will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. There's an inheritance. This morning I just shared about the prodigal son that came back, that when he came back, the father ran to him and he gave him a robe. And even because he was filthy, God put this clean robe over him, because that is his identity. And he gave him a ring, which is his authority, and he gave him shoes, which is his destiny. So when we become righteous before God, there's an inheritance that God wants to give to us. In Psalm 68, verse 3 says, "But the righteousness shall be glad, they shall exalt before God, they shall be jubilant with joy." In that place of righteousness is also in the place of God. There's a place where we can have a joy in our lives as well. Where we have right standing before God, we will be filled with peace and with joy. Now, John 14 verse 27 says, Jesus says, "He leave peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So the peace that Jesus is giving us is different to the peace that the world will give to us. But when we know that we have the peace, that we will not be afraid and we will not be troubled. Philippians 4 verse 7 says, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And then something, whenever Jesus touched someone, he always said, like Mark 5 verse 34, he said to this daughter, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your diseases." So faith and peace to me goes together. When we're in that place where we understand God's peace, who God is, that we have faith in God's goodness, we will also be in a place of peace. In Luke 7 verse 5, he said to a woman, "Your faith has saved you. Now again, go in peace." So what I just realized from this, that our faith in Jesus goes with the peace that we have in our lives. And it's just that place where we know that God is in absolute control of our lives. Now joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you know, for me, many times Christians, you find someone who's full of joy versus someone who's critical, or they moan, or they slander, or they just maybe mean, versus someone who is full of joy. Who would you be attracted to? It's just that place. You're always attracted to people who are full of joy. It's not nice to speak to people who are always negative or always criticizing, always speaking negative things about people around us. So that scripture, Nehemiah 8 verse 10, says, "For the joy of the Lord is our strength." And then Psalm 16 verse 11 says that, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore." Where we come into the presence of God, this is where we will receive that fullness of joy. In Acts 13 verse 52, it says that disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That the joy didn't come from themselves. The joy came because they came into the presence of who God is. Paul and Silas, when they were in jail, they were beaten terribly. We would probably have been crying, but because they know the presence of God, they could pray and sing hymns to God. And this is where the breakthrough came, out of the joy of who the Lord is. And for me, Galatians 5 verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, then patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But love, joy, and peace, because we abide in Christ, Christ abides in us, when we enter into the presence of God, His Spirit will start manifesting good fruit through our lives. And this is where love and joy and peace will come from. Now, if you worry, give it to Jesus. It doesn't, Christo said to the volunteers on Wednesday, he said, he gets very upset when someone moans that they don't moan sideways or downwards. They must always moan upwards to someone that's above them. But I just actually want to mention that as well. When you moan or criticize someone to someone else, that leaves a negative spirit about that person in that person's heart that you're speaking to. So in other words, if I say to Dalita, Eugene is a... Yes, you know what he did again. Then she's going to, her heart to Eugene's going to be, she's going to be unhappy with him. And it will take her a while to realize that what I said was actually slander. So what I just realized the other day as well, my wife and I, my mother is not a very easy woman. She's a difficult woman, I must say. I must be honest with you. And my wife is very soft. And sometimes it's tough for her to just, and a daughter-in-law of my mom, and she said to me, "My leaf, my heart is a bit hardened to your mom." And I said, "Okay, we must pray now." And she said, "Okay, just let's pray." And we prayed, and we started blessing my mother, and we just prayed over. It wasn't 2 hours later, my mom phoned, "Oh, can I come and look after the children? Don't you want to go for Valentine's Day? We all do this and this." And we just realized, we sometimes get critical about things. Take it to God. He'll sort it out for us just in 2 seconds. We don't have to worry about this. And this scripture that God has given me at the end of last year, I'm going to share it until He tells me to stop. But it is an amazing scripture. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." That when we're unhappy with people, when we worry about things, bring these things to God. Give it to God. He will bring that peace. He will sort it out for us. Matthew 6, verse 6 says, But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have a shut door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That we spend time with God in that secret place. We don't go to people to moan about people. That we just go into that secret place and we just cry out to God in this time of trouble, and He will deliver us. In Psalm 107 it says, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed." They cried out to Jesus in their time of trouble, and he calmed the storm. Now, to come into the kingdom of God, I believe there's 3 things that we must get right: faith, trust in God, and just to come into the rest of who God is. Faith. If you struggle with faith, ask God for faith. James 1 verse 6 says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." So if there's things that you worry about, ask God. Ask Him, "God, I'm struggling financially. I'll ask that You bring that breakthrough." But don't doubt in your heart. If you have doubt in your heart, ask God for faith. Faith is also a gift of the Spirit. And He says, "I will give freely to whoever who asks." In Luke 11, He says, "I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Our Father's heart is good. It's to bless us. It's to prosper us. It's not to harm us. You know, my little son Daniel, he's amazing. Both of them are really, it's amazing. It's amazing to have children. And Jan Delport, a friend of mine, said, we will never understand the love of God until we actually have children. That we, when you see those little things, you love them unconditionally. But when he comes to me, there's a bar. What's a bar? Is hy so lief voor? Daai bar wat hy altyd eet? Muesli bar. And he's supposed to eat, but then he says muesli bar. And only my wife that can really resist him. But if it was me, I just want to give him a muesli bar. But I know his discipline will go through the roof. But that's the heart of the father. When your child asks you, you can't help it. You just want to give it to them. Even if they ask you sweets, it's very difficult to resist your children when they ask you. How much more is it for the father when you ask him to come into that place? But God wants you to put your trust in him, not to put your trust in man. In Psalm 118, something that Delita also shared 2 weeks ago, is it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Many people put their trust in man. They get so disappointed. Their hope are in men. They want to hear from God through men, instead of seeking God to hear his voice. I also recently was where people put their trust in pastors, and pastors will make mistakes. And these people got offended because they were putting their trust in man, not in God. And I still believe the way that the pastors acted were very godly, but they didn't see it that way. They felt that they were that people were against them. But it's also that brokenness where people don't come to that place where you totally put our trust in who God is, and that God likes you, he loves you, each one of you. And you know, for me, many years it was I felt that God loved me, but I didn't think he liked me much. And I felt like that for a long time. And when you come to that place where you know you're a son, that God loves you like I love those little ones. When you see them, when they sleep like this, that I think they the most beautiful when they sleep, though. They get they're so quiet. It's a beautiful thing to see. But children are amazing. And that's God's heart to us as well. Also, just coming to the rest of who God is. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." That we just still and know who God is. That we know that God is for us. And then in John 6 verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." That Jesus is saying to us that we, that he is the bread, that he's everything to us. That if we go to him, we will never hunger. We will never not have enough. If we go to him, we'll never thirst. We will always have enough. That living water will come from him. This is my message. I just have a short message tonight, and I just want to maybe give you the opportunity. If there is someone, maybe I think there's maybe one or two people who really worry. You might really worry about life, that you are not sure where your life will go to. I think this morning as well, it was amazing for me when we talked about the prodigal sons this morning, and how the older brother was against the prodigal son when he came. And Chrissy came forward to give a testimony and she about her son. And then she said as well afterwards to me that God said to her, "Don't worry." And you know, many times we know all the answers, but we still worry. I mean, Chrissy's, I also said to her, "Chrissy, the fruit in your life is amazing. I mean, there's so many people who got saved in her family, in where she works. And she's now in a new complex. The testimonies that surrounds Chrissy is amazing." But the devil was condemning her, was accusing her that she's not good enough because her one, just the one son, he's still in a lifestyle of drugs. And he was accusing her, and she just confirmed to what I was saying as well, that God says, "Don't worry, I'm in control of those things. I will take control of your life. Trust in me." So if we can just close our eyes, I just want to pray. And I just want to ask you to open your heart to God. If there's any worry, and if there's financial worry in your heart, that you know that God's saying that you can't serve Him and Mammon, but you are worried. You are worried about the rent, or maybe the bond that you must pay, or maybe the fact that you've been retrenched, or that you're not getting enough income to support your family or yourself, or that you feel that you will not be able to retire in a few years, that you are worried about where the provision will come from. If you are worried about finance, I just want to ask you to maybe respond to God and just put up your hand if you're worrying about that. You say you don't want to struggle with finance anymore. Is there anyone like that who have financial strain in their lives? Okay, I just thank you for that. And then there's depression. We just felt, is there anyone with depression? You're worrying, you have depression, you're struggling with depression in your life. Is there anyone struggling with depression in your life? If you can just raise your hand. Okay, thank you for those hands. Then also just felt there's an addiction. Someone struggling with addiction. If there's anyone that's struggling with addiction, you want to bring it before God. If you can just raise your hand as well. Thank you. Yes, Lord God, can we just close their eyes? Lord, Father, we just bring those people before you, Lord. You know who they are, Lord. And Father, I want to declare, Lord, over every person here tonight, Lord, that you are the provider, Lord. Father God, I pray, Lord, specifically for those hands that was raised, Lord, that you will come through for them, Lord, in a supernatural way, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will come and give them that peace in their hearts, Lord, that you will bless them, Lord God. Lord God, that you will bring them to the place, Lord, where they trust in you completely, Lord, that they will not have this idol in their hearts anymore, Lord, but they will come and give it completely to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, and I just want to bring depression, Lord, before you, Father. And Lord, we just take authority over depression, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we declare, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord. Lord, that you will bless those people, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and with joy in their lives, Lord. Lord God, that you're saying to them, Lord, that you who are within them, Lord, is much bigger than he who is in the world, Lord God. And Father, I, Lord God, we just come against addictions as well, Lord, that you will break that bondage, Lord, over that life, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, Lord, I pray that you will open his eyes, Lord, to who you are, Lord, to your goodness, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you love that man, Lord, that you love him so much, Lord, and that you've brought him, Lord, to a place, Lord, where you want to open his life, Lord, and bring life to him, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person here, Lord. Father, for people who have disease, Lord, who are sick, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. We bring those sicknesses before you, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, that you are the one that heals, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that as they sit there, Lord, maybe, Lord God, as Desiree said, Lord, her eyes, Lord, we just bring our eyes before you, Lord, and we say thank you, Lord, that you said you came to give, to bring eyesight to the blind, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can bring those things before you, Lord, and know that you will come through for us, Lord, because you're a good God, Lord. You love us. You are our Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I bless you, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I want to ask you if there's anyone who has sickness, if you want to come forward, that we can pray for you. If there's anyone like that, I just want to invite you to come forward if you want us to pray for you. If there's anyone who's taking strain, you are worrying, and you want to share it with someone, you just want a word from God, I also want to invite you to come forward so that we can pray with you for that.